Okay, so this is now Perek Chaf Beis of Shmuel Beis. Now in this Perek, just a word of warning, it's a long Perek. It's about 50, I think it's 51 or 52 psukim. It's a 51 psukim. It's a long Perek. And this is a Shira. It's an inspiring song that the David sang, and we'll see exactly what this is. We'll go through it relatively quickly. Because it's not a storyline, and we'll try to just maybe offer some interpretations of some of the words that are used in the song. If you have in your Tanakh, it might be printed. I have the Art Scroll Nach here, and it's printed. You can see almost like Az Yashir. This is how it's written in the Navi. It's printed like Az Yashir a little bit, you know, with the three spaces on three phrases on the line. And again, this is like a Shira. That's how Shiras are written in Tanakh. Okay, so let's see a little bit about this Shira. Now, it's interesting because if you look, some of this will be familiar to you, especially if you're a person that regularly says Tehillim. So this actually this Perek is very similar to Tehillim Perek Yud Ches. Tehillim Perek Yud Ches. If you look at Tehillim Perek Yud Ches, it's almost identical. I believe it's also 51 Psukim. I looked it up tonight before the shir. I believe it's also 51 psukim, Tehillim Yud Ches, and it starts out. It's a long perek. Starts out Lamnatzeach le'Eved Hashem le'David, Asher Diber Hashem es Diber Ashira Hazos, Biyom Hitzel Hashem Oso Mikaf Kol Oyvav Umiyad Shaul. Now let's look at the first pasuk here in Shmuel Beis Perek Chav Beis. Aydaber David Hashem es Diber Ashira Hazos. David speaks these words. These words of Shira, almost identical, and you look throughout the Perek, the Mefarshim say that it's basically an identical Perek between this Perek Chav Beis and Shmuel Beis, and Perek Yud Ches of Sefer Tehillim, but with some changes. Some of the words are different. There are some changes, but it's almost identical. The Malbim asks, why is it repeated? You know, why do we have the same? It's the same words. It's the same perek in Perek Yud Ches in Tehillim and Perek Chaf Beis in Shmuel Beis. So he suggests that really David composed this shira when he was a young man and when he was going through all of the tzaros that he was going through, which we'll talk about. David composed the shira. He sang the shira. This was a general, broad shira. We'll see, which covers a lot of different points. And he sang the Shira every time he was saved from a specific tzara. Every time he was saved, he sang this Shira. This was the general Shira. Now, Tehillim, the Malbim says, Tehillim was composed late in David's life. Early in David's life, he was busy. He was busy, fighting wars. He was busy running away from Shaul. He was busy running the nation. He was busy early in life. Later in life, when he's an older man, and now he's looking back on all of his life, that's when he composes Sefer Tehillim. And he composed Sefer Tehillim. In this Perek, he composed in a very similar way, but with some major differences, because Tehillim was really composed for each of us. Tehillim was composed as tefillos, for every Jew to recite whenever they're going through a tzara, just like David HaMelech went through his tzaros. He said, I want to compose tefillos that any Jew going through a tzara can say these tefillos and can daven, you know, with these words to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why until today, what do we do when we have a tzara? We say Tehillim, right? Every Jew says Tehillim because that was David HaMelech's intention. That's why he composed it. So that's why he says he composed it again, just with certain changes to kind of modify it for every individual Jew, as opposed to, you know, his experiences when he was a young man after each tzara.
That's what Tehillim is like a Shira?
I'm sorry?
Saying Tehillim is like a Shira?
Sure, Tehillim is like a Shira. Yeah, the whole Tehillim is like a Shira. It's not written like that. Correct. But that's because I guess the whole Sefer is kind of like a Shira. Right? Here you have a specific Shira within a larger Perek, within a larger Sefer. You know, like sometimes you have that. You have Shiras Devora. In Shoftim, you have Shiras Devora. That's one Shira. In Parshas Az Yashir, in Parshas Mishalach, you have a Shira. Hazinu, you have a Shira. So that's a Shira within a context. So that's probably why it changes. Tehillim, the whole thing is a Shira. You know, I think.
I forgot what the Gemara says or anything out there. Did David write Shmuel Beis?
That's a great question. Did David write Shmuel Beis?
I forgot what the Gemara says about Shmuel.
I think Shmuel wrote it. No?
That's what I think. I said, but Shmuel's.
I think the Gemara says Shmuel Kostav Sifro. If I'm not mistaken, it's a good. The Gemara is in Bava Basra.
But Shmuel,
I think it says Shmuel Kostav Sifro.
But Shmuel's not alive.
Right. I don't remember. I have to look back. I think before we started Navi, I think this was in the Hakadosh year. I have to look back. I don't remember offhand. Yeah. Yes, that's what the Malbim says. Yeah. He didn't compose Tehillim as on the go. Right? He composed Tehillim afterwards, looking back at his life. You know? That's what the Malbim seems, I think, is saying. Okay. So let's go through some of the, just so we don't have a lot of time, let's go through some of the, at least the beginning of this perek, and go through some of these psukim. It's interesting, the Malbim says, I already explained this, this whole perek in Sefer Tehillim, I'm not going to repeat myself. He said, check out over there if you want to look, you know, if you want to see what I have to say, you look into Tehillim. So we can look into Tehillim to see what he has to say. Okay. This is the Shira that David sang on the days when he was saved, when Hashem saved him from his enemies, from Shaul. And the obvious question that all the Mefarshim asked, from his enemies, from Shaul, what is that supposed to mean? Shaul was one of his enemies, right? So either list all the enemies or just say from his enemies. What are you saying from his enemies, from Shaul? So Pashup Shad says, Rashi, that Shaul, of course, although he was one of his enemies, he was his biggest enemy, right? Shaul was the biggest enemy for most of David's life. You know, Shaul's chasing him. He's yakking him in China. He's making him crazy, you know? So that's why it specifies Shaul, Mikav Kol Oivav, Umikav Shaul.
In Tehillim? Yeah,
Mikav, what does it say?
I don't know.
Yeah, when you heard me say it, let's see. One second. Here we go. It says, "V'yom itzil Hashem also mikaf kol oivav umiyad shaul."
Right.
So you're right. It's a little different. The idea is the same. Mikaf. No, it's very similar. Umikaf. We have umikaf shaul.
Right.
That's umiyad shaul. Okay. It's a similar idea.
It could be differentiated because really, you know, there's different things. His oivim, like the plishtim and shaul.
Okay. Good.
He did give a kavod acharon to.
Correct. Good. Right, so it is a little different, Josh is saying. Right? Josh is saying that Shaul, although he was an enemy of David, he wasn't an enemy like the Plishtim were enemies, right? You know, the Plishtim, David killed him and didn't think twice. You know, Shaul, at the end, he didn't want to kill Shaul, right? Shaul died. He was upset when Shaul died. He eulogized Shaul at the end. He was taking the test for not eulogizing him properly, you know, and he did give him that covered achman. So you're right. It's not the same thing. And maybe that's why it singles Shaul out, you know, different from all of the other, from all the other enemies. Good. Okay. Very nice. I like that. Avshalom. He doesn't mention Avshalom. Right. Right. As Shaul. Maybe even different. You know, I hear you. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we find in general, David was very hesitant to, you know, if he has David, he may not have even considered Avshalom an enemy. You know, he was misguided, you know, we find that David was very soft. It was his son. He had Rachmanis on him, you know, different than Shaul. A son is different than a father-in-law, you know? Okay. Okay. Says the Apostle Beis, Hashem Sali Umitsudasi Umefalti Li. I'm sorry, Vayomar. Vayomar, Hashem Sali Umitsudasi Umefalti Li. So I'll read the article translation for this. God, my rock, in whom I take shelter, my shield. Okay, so obviously these are terms that refer to strength. Sali, Sela is a rock. That's Hashem is our strength. It's a song. What is a song?
Yigal Saleh sang this song on the New York School of London School of Jewish Songs.
Uh-huh. Really? Okay. Okay. There you go. So he was singing. He was singing David. He just did. He was singing David's Shira. Okay. Good. So again, these are terms of strength. Mitsudasi. It's like a fortress. You know, that's his shelter, so to speak. Rashi says, if you take a look at Perek in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Gimel. This also refers to different nisim that happened in that perek. And it says Umafalti Li in the singular, because sometimes David was saved together with his whole army. David was a group, was with a group, was an army with, you know, the group of people that were saved all together. And sometimes it was just him that was saved by himself. So that's why it says in the singular, Umefalti Li. Pasuk Gimel, Elokei Tzuri Echesebo. So again, I'll read the translation here. God, again, hold on. Oh, I'm sorry. I read the wrong pasuk first. Sorry about that. Pasuk 2, the art book translated as, Hashem is my rock, my fortress, and my rescuer. And again, here in Pasuk Gimel, God, my rock, in whom I take shelter, my shield. Right? Tzuri Echesebo. Magini is my shield, the Karenishi and the horn of my salvation, Misgabi Umenusi Moshi Mechamas Toshieni. My stronghold, my refuge, my savior, you save me from injustice. And the Mefarshim say here also this concept of Echese. Echese means like a cover, right? Mechas is to cover something. So Echese means a cover, that we like running for cover, literally, like run for cover. Where do we run for cover? We run for cover to the Ribono Shel Olam. Karen Yishi, the horns, said the Mitzvah Stavit, just like an animal that has horns, what do? The horns help the animal. The horns save the animal sometimes. There's an enemy that comes. The animal uses its horns to save himself from the clutches of that animal, of the animal that's attacking. So too, we Kadosh Baruch Hu is our Karen Yishi. He's our horns of salvation that we can hold on to and fend off the enemies. Moshi, of course, Hashem saves us. Misgabi umenusi. Menusi also, I run like a lanus. I run, I flee to Hashem. Mechamas toshieni, mechamas from those who are thieves, from those who practice chamas, Hashem saves me. Mehulal ekra Hashem. Hashem is with praises. I call unto Hashem. Ume oivai ivasheya. And from my enemies, I am saved. Now, this is very interesting. So the question is, what comes first? Is the mehulal first? Or is the me'oivai ivasheya first? So Rashi learns the pasuk in the order that it appears. Mehula lekra Hashem, that me'oivai ivasheya. He says, I am confident that Hashem will save me from my enemies, and therefore when I call out to him, I'm thanking him. Because I'm confident, I have confidence that Hashem is going to save me. I bitachon, that Hashem is going to save me from my enemies. So I call out to him and thank him. The Radak says the other way. He says, no, mehula lekra Hashem, first I dive into Hashem. I dive into Hashem, I dive in for Hashem's help. Now, when I dive into Hashem, he's praised, because half of, you know, most of our tefillah is praising Hashem. So I dive into Hashem. Through that, he's praised, he's mehulo. And once I dive in and Hashem is praised, then may I by Ivashay. Then in that merit, in that schus, Hashem will save me from my enemies. That's the question. What comes first? Does the tefillah come first and then Hashem saves me? Like the Radak says, or the Rashi is saying, no, that I'm confident that Hashem will save me. And therefore, when I call out in thanks, right? That's a question of how to understand this, this pasuk. But again, it's saying that, you know, the basic idea is the same. Hashem saves us, and we call out either in thanks or in praise. Pasuk hey, ki afafuni mishbirei maves, nachalev liyal yeva'asuni. Afafuni mishbirei maves. Mishbirei maves, different ways of understanding that. Either mishbirei maves, it refers to the tzaros, that my tzaros surrounded me. Now, why are tzaros called mishberei maves? So Radak says they're called mishberei maves because the tzaros break a person, right? They break a person's heart, and these tzaros almost took David's life on multiple occasions, and you know they break your heart because you're anxious, you're stressed because of these tzaros. That's why it's called mishberei maves. Rashi says mishbar or mashber also refers to the birthing table of a woman. That just like a woman when she's giving birth is in a state of sakana. Right, we know we were Mechal Shabbos if a woman's in labor. Right, there's a potential sakana. It used to be much more sakana, Baruch Hashem. It's much less sakana now, but still, we're Mechal Shabbos, it's potential sakana. So too, just like a woman is Mishverei Mavis, is on the mashver, is on the birthing table. That's what David said. That's what I felt like when I was Betzar, that I was on this. I was in the state of potential sakana. Some say also Mishverei means the waves, just like the waves come and break. You know, like we talk about the waves breaking. So also like the waves of tzaros that were coming over David, nachlev liyal yevasuni, that the rivers of evil swept me away. That just like a river comes and rushes and sweeps things away, so too these rivers of my enemies were coming and were scaring me and sweeping me away. Pasuk Vav, Chevle Sheol Sabuni. So Chevle either means a group of tsaros, you know, a bunch of tsaros together, or it can mean the pain, like Chevle Mashiach is the pains of Mashiach. So the pains of my tsaros surrounded me. Kidmuni Mokshe Maves. That all of the snares of death, as the art scroll translates it, the snares of death confronted me. Pasuk Zayin Batsarli Ekra Hashem Liel Elokai Ekra. So when I'm in the straits, when I'm in a narrow place, I'm between a rock and a hard place. Batsar, please. So when I'm in that place, Ekra Hashem, I call out to Hashem. Liel Elokai Ekra, I call out to Hashem. VaYishma Meheichalo Koli Hashem, hears my voice from the heavens. Vishavo Sibe Oznav, and my cries are in his ears. My cries are heard by Hashem. Pasuk Ches. Yes.
Rabbi, why the two different? He says, "I call upon Hashem, yeah, and to Lord I would cry out." Why the different terminology?
Batzali Ekra Hashem Elokai Ekra. Good question. I'm not sure. I didn't see anything. Let me just look quickly here. This is Pasuk Zayin. I mean, usually Hashem is Midas HaRachamim. That's true. That's true. What one sounds like future and one sounds like past. Yeah. I think the Rashi picks up on that. The Mefarshim that I have here are not explaining it. I'm not sure. I didn't see the Malbim in Tehillim, so I have to check out the Malbim in Tehillim and see what he says. I'm not sure why. Okay, Pasuk Ches. Literally, then the earth quaked and roared, right? This loud sounds and trembling and roaring from the earth. Mostos Hashamayim Yergazu, the foundations of the heavens shook. They quaked when his wrath flared. So when he got upset, everything starts shaking, right? The world starts shaking and trembling. So the Radak says this is referring to the swiftness and the might of Hashem's anger when he wants to destroy the enemies of Bnei Yisrael. We're not talking about Hashem getting angry at Bnei Yisrael. We're talking about Hashem getting angry at our enemies. When they're doing things to us, Hashem gets angry, and these things are going to happen. And the Mitzvah Stavit says, Mostos HaShemayim refers to the officers of Canaan, that the nations of the world are going to get scared when they see these things happening. Now, another Moshe Pasuk Tes, Ola Oshem Be'apo Ve'esh Mipiv Tochel. So it's like a smoke is coming out of his nose, like that imagery of smoke coming out from the nostrils when a person is upset, when a person is angry. Esh Mipiv Tochel, like fire, you know, like a fire breathing dragon, like the fire coming out of his mouth. Gecholim Baru Mimenu, these hot coals, you know, flying out from Hashem. Again, these are all Mishalim, obviously, speaking about the destruction that Hashem will bring upon the enemies of Bnei Israel. And now we'll just do a few more psukim. Now, interestingly, David shifts to talk about Mitzrayim and Paro and all the tzara that Klal Yisrael experienced then, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to punish Paro in the Mitzrayim. Pasuk Yud, Vayet Shamayim Vayerad, and Hashem bent down the heavens and descended, Va'arafel Tachas Raglav, with thick darkness beneath his feet. Here says Rashi, we're talking about Paro and Mitzrayim, and the Moshel that Hashem is lowering the heavens down to attack Paro and Mitzrayim, and specifically with darkness. We know Choshech was one of the 10 Makos, and Choshech was also, Pasuk says, that the Anan and the Choshech separated between Mitzrayim and Bnei Yisrael. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayirkav al Keruv Vayaof, Vayera al Kanfe Ruach, that he mounted a cherub, referring to this type of a malach, and he flew. He appeared on the wings of the wind. That Hashem came with a strong wind. It almost looked like Hashem was coming on wings of a bird, just like, you know, a bird flaps and it creates a sort of wind. So too, that's how Hashem was coming with this big wind. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayoshes Choshech Srivo Sov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this darkness. You know, I'll translate you, I'll read the art scroll. He made darkness into shelters all around him. Srivo Sov Sukho, sorry. Chashras Mayim Ove Shechakim. And this pasuk is quoted actually in the Gemara. Also in Tainus, from the darkness of water, the clouds of heaven. So these refers to, says Rashi, this is talking about the clouds and the darkness that separated between Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim. The darkness is from the thick rain clouds, you know, like you imagine like a thick, dark, you know, dark rain cloud. Those are the darkness. Chashtras either means a sieve, and just like you have a sieve, when you put something in a sieve, so the small little things come down, you know, the dirt falls through, the small things fall through. So too, you have this light rain that begins to fall through the clouds. Some say also, chashras can also refer to something tied together. So like the clouds are all tied up, like intertwined with each other. The whole sky is covered with these dark rain clouds. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Minoga Negdo. But says Rashi, don't think that by Hashem it's dark. Minoga Negdo. By Hashem it's light. From out of the brilliance that is before him, Bo Arugach Leish. He burns fiery coals. But the darkness is by the Mitzrim. But when it came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had light, he had brilliance, and that's where these fiery coals came to go and destroy and burn up his enemies. Pasuk Yudalin, Yareim min Shamayim Hashem ve'el yom yitein kolo. Yareim is like Reim, like thunder. Hashem thundered from the heavens. The Most High gave forth his voice. Pasuk Tezva, v'yishlach chitzim v'yifitzim barak v'yaho. That he sent arrows and scattered them, lightning, and he terrified them. Pasuk Tezayim, v'yeroh u'afike yom. And the depths of the sea became visible, right? Afike is the depths or the might. Radak says also it refers to the strong waters, the might of the waters. Metzudah Stavet says that the ground became visible because Hashem split the sea, right? Hashem split the Yam Suf, so the ground became visible beneath the sea. Yigolu Mostos Tevel, the foundations of the earth were laid bare. I'm sorry, that's what the Metzudah Stavet is referring to. Begaras Hashem Minishmas Ruach Hapo. By the rebuke of Hashem, by the blowing of the breath of his nostrils, Hashem told Yam Suf to split, and he blew. We know that the pasuk said that there was a ruach. That ruach came straight from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Rashi also says that this also refers to the fact that not just the Yam Suf split, but Chazal tell us that when Yam Suf split, all of the waters of the world split as well. So that's pasuk Tezayin. We'll stop here for tonight. That's the end of the references to Mitzrayim. And Amir Hashem, next week we'll try to get through the rest of this parak, the rest of the Shira, with some of the imagery that David is conjuring up. Thank you very much.
Rabbi.
Coming.
Do we know what's next after Shemot?
I'm not sure.
Not yet.
We could take a poll.